Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. And wow, the good news just keeps on coming. I wake up this morning to an article in The Hill magazine saying that Arizona is Trump country.
Yeah.
I don't see Fox talking about that this morning. They were talking about Michigan, which, of course, is a big deal because the blue wall is sort of not there anymore.
Well, he won every single swing state.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that we're going to hold on to control in the House. Obviously, we have it now in the Senate, and it seems like we will, but I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Right, and might flip Nevada, too. So we don't know what the results are going to be out there yet, but the good news keeps on coming. Let's put it that way this morning. Just when you didn't think it could get any better, it's gotten better.
This is just wild. He ended up with 312 electoral votes. I was reading some interesting, all these statistics that people have come out with, just talking about how historic this was. I think it's so incredible. So it says Nevada and Arizona have now been called for Trump. This was, of course, a tweet yesterday. He finishes with 312 electoral votes, the most for a Republican presidential candidate since 1988.
So Reagan.
I think that's just, no one would have predicted this because Trump is so polarizing, and you have half the country who loves him and half the country who, well, hate. I use that word very intentionally. Hate him, thinks he's Hitler. And look at how, I mean, I would not have even predicted that the election would end up like this. I felt like he was going to win, but not like this.
I didn't. Carl's right there. That would have been George H.W. Bush. I didn't realize he got in the 300s. In his election. I did not.
Well, that was someone who tweeted that. I think it was it Clay Travis?
I did not. Well, it's probably right. I mean, Reagan won 49 out of 50 states against Mondale. So that wasn't, that wasn't even an issue in what would have been 84, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, it's big. It's huge. Several people had reached out to me before the election. In fact, Mark Walters, who's normally with us on 2A Tuesday, reached out. I should find the text because he was estimating I might have been 312. And if that's true, then we're going to have him on here to pat him on the back here, right? Maybe next Tuesday we'll get him on to pat him on the back. I'm trying to figure out.
Wow, so you're saying he predicted that Trump would end up?
He texted me Tuesday night and said, "How you feeling tonight? Me, Trump, 312. I'm sticking with it."
Wow.
How about that, right? He's a soothsayer. I said, "Brother, I hope you're right."
That's
I am
incredible.
Nervously optimistic.
I really expected this to drag out until at least today, if not tomorrow. And in the fact that this was a landslide, that people were able to go to bed Tuesday night knowing that Trump was our next president is wild to me.
I would agree. And to understand that here's the thing. Trump had internal polling that made them fairly confident that's what was going to happen. I have a hard time believing Kamala Harris's people didn't have that same polling. They had to, but they were never going to admit it. But still, we're told that she was not, the reason she didn't come out and speak on Tuesday night to that crowd is that she was not prepared to give a concession speech. She didn't have the speech written. She thought that at the very least, it would be contentious and the election would be dragged out for a few days, right? And here's the thing that I say to people. because several times yesterday in her speech and in a statement released by the White House, they said there will be a peaceful transition of power, as if that didn't happen before, right? In 2021, there was a peaceful transition of power. The definition of a peaceful transition of power is the occupant of the White House walking across the lawn to Marine One, the helicopter, and flying away. Just like every president's done since we've had a helicopter, that's what's happened. That's what happened in 2020. That's what's going to happen in 2024. There was never any doubt about that. Other than a temper tantrum by a group of people at the Capitol building on January 6th, that was nothing about stealing power from anybody, or it wasn't about not having a peaceful transition of power. The president left the White House on January 20th of 2021. That's what happened. That's what'll happen again. And the point they're still making little digs at him by saying, we'll have a peaceful transition of power. Of course you will. Of course you will. And, I mean, to have not had a concession speech ready is really maybe part and parcel of what was wrong with that campaign to begin with. They were not in touch with reality. We'll talk a little bit more about the House situation coming up in the next hour. Did you know that in history, there has never been a double flip of the Senate and the House in history of the United States? Like when one party controlled the Senate going in, the other one controlled the House, there's never been a double flip.
Right. I did see that. Yeah. So in this case, it would mean that the Democrats would take control of the House. And obviously, we know the Republicans have flipped the Senate. So that's what you're mean. Yeah.
No.
That's what I read. That's never happened.
Okay. Right. Right. So we don't know what's going to happen there yet. We'll find out. But we're going to talk to Breon Wells coming up in the 6:20 hour about that. Tom Ackerman is going to join us. We've got Tommy Pigott a little later with the RNC, because big questions about, you know, what happens next. And, of course, you have to send a truck over to the Heritage Foundation to bring over Project 2025 to the White House. As the Democrats claimed all along.
No, I think Trump probably already has it in his nightstand. I think he read it every single night before bed, memorized it. He wrote it, after all, right?
This is so fun.
It was all his idea.
Can I just tell you that? It's just such a great day in America. Went out and had a beer with family last night to celebrate, a little cheer, a little toast to what happened on Tuesday night. And with Arizona, it just keeps getting better. Hey, how about this? Let's get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
While I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
How'd you take Comey's concession speech yesterday? Was there a little veiled threat in there about dark skies and all that stuff and keep on fighting? I have to wonder about it. Somebody brought it up to me yesterday.
Well, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of her. I don't think people realize how hard it is to get to where she was.
Claire Bear there breaking down in tears over how proud she was of Kamala Harris getting eviscerated in a national election.
3 years from now, the United States will celebrate the biggest and most important milestone in our country's history. 250 years of American independence. What a great country.
Yep, going to be a big celebration. Big, really big. It's going to be even bigger now. It's going to be huge.
I wouldn't expect to see anywhere near that magnitude of change either direction as we go through the certification process. That would just be an incredibly large thing.
It would be huge. Going to be large. I don't know. We'll see what happens when Republicans take over. But we do have a razor thin margin here when it comes to Amendment 2. We talked about this yesterday. Amendment 2, Amendment 3 won. Amendment 2 was a much closer vote. And now there's this question of what happens next, right? And it's possible that there could be a recount in that particular on that particular issue. So it was close enough that we just don't know. Carl, go to that full soundbite. I believe that was a We heard from Jay Ashcroft there. Channel 4 has been covering this story because of how close this thing was.
Missouri Sports Betting Amendment 2 received more yes votes than no votes, but the final count last night was so close, it could lead to a recount.
Missouri law says the losing side of an election gets to ask for a recount if the margin is under half a percentage point. The election results last night for Amendment 2 were about half of that. But before any recount would happen, the state's local election officers must certify them.
Our local election authorities will spend the next 2 weeks going back over those numbers. There are mandatory audits of at least 5% of all the ballots cast to make sure there aren't problems.
Once the results are certified, the losing side is able to challenge them in court. But with a margin of 7,500 votes, that would still need to be a massive amount of counting problems for Amendment 2.
I wouldn't expect to see anywhere near that magnitude of change either direction as we go through the certification process. That would just be an incredibly large thing.
So provided Amendment 2 doesn't get overturned on a recount, it would still be up to the Missouri Gaming Commission to develop regulations for the new industry.
Yeah, I don't think anything. I think it's hoping beyond hope that that thing gets overturned on a recount.
And I think it's going to stand. It was about 4,366 votes, I believe, that made the difference on
right.
why it passed.
Wow.
And that is razor
so
thin. I wish it had been that razor thin for Amendment 3. In fact, I just can't wrap my brain around how many people are celebrating baby murder.
We think so much alike on that. I wish that was the one that was in question here. But just think for a moment. And we talked about this with Dr. Bob Onder yesterday. If there's blood on the hands of anyone here, it was our Senate leaders from last session. Caleb Rowden, Cindy O'Loughlin, who didn't let this thing get through. Amendment 3 would have failed if we'd had initiative petition reform. In any form. If we'd raised the standard to 60%, which is not what they were asking for, all they wanted was the 6 of 8 congressional districts to come in at least 50 plus one. If either of those things had happened, this would have failed. And we complained about it for 3 years, and yet these so-called conservative leaders in the Missouri Senate failed us. That's where the blame lies. If you're angry about this, that's where the blame lies. And Caleb Rowden is out of the Senate now, and his seat went to a Democrat, just so you know. It's sad. It really is. All right, Carl Middleman, who's bringing us our national anthem?
Mark,
today?
The Blues won on Tuesday when we played Jeremy Boyer. They're playing again tonight, so superstition says we must play it again.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit it.
Now, Mark Cox, Soapbox.
What a great day in America, ladies and gentlemen. Well, actually, it's a great week now. I got to tell you, it's like having a weight lifted off the shoulders of freedom. I got to say, I had the best night's sleep of my life last night. I figure part of that was exhaustion. The other part was that I was just so happy. I had great dreams. It's like you have that really great dream, and sometimes you wake up and then you can't remember what it was. I remembered exactly what it was this morning. And I got to tell you, to be honest with you, the stress of the election, the voting, the local amendments and all of that kind of made you lose focus on the fact that this was a huge victory for America all in one fell swoop. The voters in America really have given us a gift, And here's the challenge. If Republicans and conservatives are smart, which they always haven't been, they're going to use the power they've been handed to enact permanent change, right? And I'm not talking about Barack Obama hope and change that he talked about. We're talking about returning this country to common sense. I was thinking about that this morning when I heard that Tesla shares soared 15% yesterday when the market went up 1,500 points, right? You know, Elon Musk is a reason, one of the big reasons, I think, Donald Trump won this election. And yet, when we shut down the Green New Deal and electric vehicle mandates, that might have a direct impact on Tesla. Think about that for a minute. But here's the difference. Elon Musk understands that most of us who support capitalism, people buy products because they want them, not because they've been forced to buy them. He gets that. Most people understand this. They're going to adjust accordingly. Elon Musk will adjust to that. The first person I can't wait to get fired is John F. Kerry. Can I just tell you that? That brainiac has been flying around the globe for years on a private jet, telling the rest of us we need to go back to pre-industrial revolution life. You know, maybe no cars or fewer cars, no fossil fuels, public transportation, hanging our clothes on the clothesline every day to dry. When do you think the last time was that guy did a load of laundry? Just out of interest. So for those reasons and many more, the relief here is palpable. Like it's just a load off of your shoulders. But how we handle this is going to decide if the White House stays with J.D. Vance in 4 years, or if the Democrats, through more lawfare and their friends in the fake news media, try to stop us. They're going to fight Trump at every turn. We know that. They've already started talking about what they'll try to do to block him. Now, the stock market being up 1,500 points yesterday, I mean, it's a good example of this new dawn in America. I've been around long enough to know that who's in the White House doesn't always have a direct impact on the market. If you'd invested $1,000 the day Barack Obama got elected, it would have been worth a lot more by the time he left 8 years later. This is true. Same will be true for Trump. But he's going to add rocket fuel to the economy with the tariff talk. Whether he enacts them or not, it's going to make a huge difference. He's going to dig, baby, dig. The most beautiful thing about what happened Tuesday is if we control the Senate and the House, because we can build walls, we can secure the southern border, we can deport people who kicked in our front door and decided to live in our family room without consequence. We can deal with the foreign leaders without the shadow of millions of dollars in illegal payments coming in to the president's family members like they did with Joe Biden. And for my Jewish friends out there, if I can just say it, mazel tov. If you think you're happy, imagine how happy Benjamin Netanyahu is this morning, knowing he now has a friend in the White House instead of somebody who's friends with his enemy. America was given a chance for a grand reset of our values and common sense Tuesday night. Let's now all say a prayer that we don't blow it.
Kim on a whim.
You know, one of the things I've seen, especially from, you know, some of my wife's friends and some of my friends, is that they disagree with us on politics. Sometimes they'll get very personal about it. And if you're discarding a lifelong friendship because somebody votes for the other team, then you've made a terrible, terrible mistake and you should do something different.
Look, we've talked about this topic before, but I think it's worth revisiting in light of what just happened on Tuesday. The anger that I'm seeing online from friends, I can't even imagine. Now you have, of course, Thanksgiving coming up, and I wonder how many families are considering making other plans. My family and I were sitting there watching the election results roll in. We're all going, Trump, Trump, Trump. And I remember my sister at one point made some comment, and she said, seriously, how many families right now would be able to sit together and watch this and all be cheering for the same person and basically be on the same page when it comes to different policies?
Well,
that has to be very rare
well,
at this point.
Maybe, you know, I had a friend on Facebook yesterday, and I've got to be honest with you. I am really surprised that she has not unfriended me years ago. I've known this girl since I was a kid, and she's a couple years older than me. They were family friends, and she put a post up yesterday, and and I got to thinking about it. What if we had to actually get together face to face, like over a dinner or something? How would that go?
Mm-hmm.
She's so distraught over this that she's having trouble functioning. Like, she put out a long post yesterday about how she's having trouble functioning, and she's walked through the day numb and sad, and she doesn't know what to do. And I'm like, you know, I stopped myself, Kim, from saying, suck it up, Buttercup, because I've been there. I know how she felt after Barack Obama got elected. I know how I felt in 2020, but you know what? I survived.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it's really sad that people are... Look, let me say this. I understand why it's hard to have friends who have completely opposite views of you. And I've been very open with you guys that my closest friend of almost 20 years, I don't know, between 15 and 20 years, she stood by me at my wedding. And 3 months later, she cut me out of her life because of my conservative views.
Wow.
And I'm not alone in that. Actually, I'll tell you, this Kim on a Whim was inspired by something that Mark Reardon posted on Twitter that I read that just made me sad. And I'm going to read the tweet that he sent out the other day. He said, keeping it real here, I'm also sad this morning. I have true friends on the left that may have decided to not be my friend. I've never done that to anyone over politics. I've had it done to me over and over. I mean, some people I was really close with. So I put a little poll out on Twitter, just curious. This was like late last night. I said, how many of you have lost at least one friend over your conservative values?
Yeah.
54% said I have. 45% said I have not. I think that this is starting to become more and more of a thing. Now, you hear about this political divide when it comes to dating and how this is a big turnoff sometimes,
oh, yeah.
Right? There are certain issues where I believe you absolutely need to be on the same page. Like when it comes to foreign policy, I could see you having a different opinion about that. Something like that. That's not a deal breaker. When it comes to abortion, you should be on the same page as your spouse. Because what happens, for example, if you get pregnant and your husband or, you know, wants abortion and says you need to abort that baby and you say, no, I don't believe in that. I could just see this creating massive animosity and resentment. And mm-hmm. So there are moral issues, I believe, that they should be a deal breaker for you. There was a 5,000 person survey from Oddspedia. I'll be honest, I've never heard of that, but it said 1 in 6 Americans has ended or considered ending a relationship because of political differences.
I couldn't be married to somebody who was the polar opposite of my views. I don't know how that could, I don't know how that would work. How could you sit over dinner and discuss the topics of the day if your worldview is that 100% opposite? And I'm not talking about minor disagreements over, you know, Trump's border policy or, you know, something minor, fairly minor like that. I'm just talking about you believe Kamala Harris would have been the best path forward for this country. I couldn't be married to you, and I probably couldn't date you because I don't know where our conversation would go.
I agree. No, I agree. And that's my point, too, is I think smaller things I could understand where you could agree to disagree. But
yeah.
the big ones, I feel like you should be in alignment. When it comes to abortion,
yeah.
Absolutely is one of them. When it comes to friendships, that is harder because I don't think you have to be quite as aligned. But if you're not, it does make it difficult to have conversations. Like for me, for example, I have plenty of friends who aren't Christian. But when I, and let's just say going through a hard time in life, that's the way I handle it is with my faith and I relate it to that. And so if you can't relate to me in that way, I might not be going to you first to want to get to talk about it because we can't relate on that level. It doesn't mean I can't be your friend. It doesn't mean that we can't have plenty of other conversations.
Correct.
There's a million other things we can talk about.
So different.
The problem in society now is that people feel like you can't even be friends at all. I do believe that you should, like, for example, me as a Christian, I feel like I need to align myself with people who are like-minded in that way because, again, that's a core, that's the most important thing to me. But it is sad how many people are losing friends. And I have to stop myself from posting things. Like after Trump won on Instagram, I it's a private page. I don't open it up. I post things related to my family. And I wanted to post so many things about Trump. And it's not that I don't ever post things. Like I'll post things about abortion and stuff. And naturally, I get a lot of pushback. But I try to keep that page not super political. because, but it is funny though, where I see plenty of people who will post all this liberal nonsense.
Oh yeah,
and I don't say anything, and then as soon as I post the slightest hint of I support Trump or I'm against abortion or whatever the case may be, people just unload on me.
Well, you know, I have a friend who had that conversation with me the other day because she's generally runs in circles with people on a particular, it's work-related, but it's a private page, and they talk about the industry and what they do for a living. But they've been all on fire for Kamala Harris, and that's all they've been talking about, and how much they hate Donald Trump. And, of course, this person said, I disagree with them, but I've been hesitant to say anything on there because I know they're all going to attack me. And I wonder now why it's not okay for me to go on there and brag a little bit because my guy won. But I know what's going to happen. They'll all unfriend me. They'll leave the group instead of dealing with me. This is the tolerant left in this country.
Yeah.
This is how they operate. It's okay for them to scream and rant and rave. But if you bring up something they disagree with, they just click unfriend and they won't talk to you anymore.
Have you muted anyone or unfollowed anyone over this election recently?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yes.
I have not defriended anybody, but I have muted people where I'm getting sick and tired of seeing their posts.
Not close friends, but if you post something that makes me realize that you are really insane, and all we are acquaintances on Facebook, and I have accepted you years ago for some reason, I'll just go in and unfollow or unfriend if that's what I have to do, because I just don't want to see that nonsense. I don't have time for it.
I know. There was a guy who posted on my Facebook yesterday and was, you know, irritated that I wouldn't take the COVID shot and then couldn't believe I supported Trump. And he's like, you know, I used to like your career at KCCI, which is where I started out of college in Des Moines.
Okay.
And now I can't believe you've gone down this dark path. He's like, I know you're going to defriend me. I know you're going to block me and delete this comment. I said, I'm absolutely not going to. As long as you are not just spewing hate at me and being extremely disrespectful, I welcome you to have a different opinion. That is absolutely fine. I'm not out there sitting there, you know, oh, you said something remotely negative about my beliefs and therefore I'm blocking you. But that's the mindset of so many people now, particularly on the left. And I just, if you're listening and your family is split on this and maybe your Thanksgiving plans as of Tuesday have been changed, I am sorry. There are going to be some awkward conversations at the Thanksgiving dinner here. And what? Is Thanksgiving 3 weeks away now?
Yeah, probably 3 weeks.
Whew, I mean, 3 weeks is maybe enough time to cool off, but yowza. People are angry.
It's also enough time for you to order your Trump wig that you could then wear to the dinner table.
You know, Mark, when they talk about like the knife when you jab it in someone and then you start turning it and twisting it? That's what you like to do, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. I do think, though, the perfect response to the guy who knew you from KCCI up in Iowa was, excuse me, how red was Iowa on Election Day because of that fake poll that said that it was going to go to Kamala Harris?
Didn't they give Kamala a 3-point lead over Trump?
Yeah. And he won by 14
probably was going to say 18,
in Iowa. Yeah, it was an outlier, and everybody knew it from the beginning.
But again, that guy, that doesn't even, like, whatever. I mean, a lot of people who I used to know think I'm crazy for supporting Trump. Fine, this is my belief. Who cares? You go support Kamala if you want. Whatever. I mean, I'm not going to be on board with that. And I'm tired of people sitting here saying, you're not open to other ideas. You know what? Because I believe in an objective truth, and that's the problem, is that people these days don't believe there's an objective truth. There is one truth out there. Not your version, not your neighbor's version, not your cat or your neighbor who thinks he's a furry. There is one truth. And so I believe that I have the truth, and that's why I hold strong to my beliefs. So I will listen to you. I will have a conversation with it about whatever topic, but you're not going to convince me that, for example, I should support abortion. You're just not, because the objective truth in my mind is that abortion is murder and therefore I am not going to support it anymore. Yeah, again, this is, I used to.
I think you're right. Maybe 3 weeks from now, things will have calmed down enough. I remember after 2020, after the 2020 election and we lost, the left went haywire on social media. They gloated a lot. I did put a Trump head on the body of Rocky Balboa up on my social media yesterday with no words, really, just the word 40. So I just put 47 in there, and that's it. I didn't say anything else. One day. And then Then I took down my profile picture of that showed my support for Amendment 3, and I took down those other things that I had up there. I'm not going to do that forever. But you gloated for one day. We can gloat for one day. And then get down to the business of undoing everything you've done to this country the last 4 years. And that's what Donald Trump will start doing on day one.
It's time to heal our country, and yes. I believe he's the man to do it.
Yes, indeed. You bet. Hey, coming up a little later, we're going to talk to Tom Ackerman. We just got some good news for Tom regarding some new duties he's going to have around here. As if he doesn't have enough to do already, we'll talk about that with Tom Ackerman just a little later. Congratulate him on that for sure. Jim Talent, Tommy Pigott coming up. Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday. Anxious to get her thoughts on what's going on in the House as well, those House races. We'll be back here in just a minute. I just tell you, wait for it here. Wait for it. Wait for Grace to start singing here, Carl. Hold on.
One pill makes you.
Can I just tell you what I would pay to have seen the look on Grace Slick's face Tuesday night when that election got called for Donald Trump? Because she is one of those screaming lefties, and there's a long list of them who you could never have a beer with and talk politics with. I told you my story about when she came to Channel 4. She retired from music and she started doing paintings. And she was touring the country with her art exhibit, and she had one over in the Central West End somewhere. So they brought her down to our studio, and I recorded an interview with her. I don't know if it's for our weekend show or what. And of course, she had no idea what my views were on politics. Nobody did at the time. I'm a television news reporter. I go do my job. I do what I'm supposed to do. And we're sitting there, and we had talked about her musical career and all this stuff, and we were in a commercial break, and we were waiting to come back and record some more. And Frances Slay was in the building for some reason. And somebody came into the studio and said, "Miss Slick, the mayor of St. Louis is here and wondered if he could get a picture with you." And her response was, "Well, I'll take a picture with him as long as he's not a damn Republican, because I'm not taking any pictures with any Republicans." And I'm sitting there just looking at her, thinking, you have no idea what's going on in my brain right now. Because I didn't know. We didn't talk about politics. It wasn't what the interview was about, but that's what she gravitated to. So those are the kind of insane lefties that I would love to have been a fly on the wall when they got that news yesterday. They were melting down on late night television. Jimmy Kimmel let his kids curse for 30 seconds. We never let the kids curse, but it was worth it to hear them let their anger out on Tuesday night.
I don't think I follow Christina Applegate, but I heard that she was having a complete meltdown and was saying something like, "If you voted for Trump, just unfollow me now. I don't even want you following me." Like, that's the dramatic of this whole thing, where I'm like, come on, seriously? Like, that's how angry you are if someone voted for Trump?
I mean, Michael Moore, right down the line, Stephen King, a number of them, Rob Reiner, have threatened either to harm themselves. I think I saw a tweet, I don't know if it was faked or not a fake account, that said Stephen King threatened to throw himself in a wood chipper if Donald Trump got elected. Honestly, you're going to self-harm yourself because you don't like who just got elected president?
The party of love.
I don't know why.
The party of joy and unity.
I will start the GoFundMe page, and I'm sure we'll get thousands of dollars in contributions just to pay your airfare if you promise to relocate and not come back. And here's of all the ones threatening to go to Canada, here's what they don't understand. Canada has much tougher immigration laws than the United States. You're not welcome up there, just so you know. You're welcome to visit, but they don't want you to move up there. They don't. If you go to Canada, like you graduate from a university in Canada even, but you're an American, and you want to get a job, their law says that the employer must make sure there's not a single Canadian who wants that job first before they can give it to you.
But isn't that hateful and discriminatory, Mark?
I think someone should ask Justin Trudeau that question. Fidel Castro's illegitimate son.
I could not have a drink with Justin Trudeau. I'd want to claw my eyes out.
But you could get through it.
But I would get through it and not want to kill him or kill myself. You just suck it up.
He's the one that couldn't. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about what the odds are that the Republicans hold the U.S. House. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.